Hey, good morning. Good morning. So good to see you. Good morning if you are joining us at one of our locations. So hello to Gas Street Longbridge, little whoop in the room. Hello to Gas Street South. Hello. It's so good to be with the whole church, all of us together via video. So as Becky said, here at Central, we are in our vision series, and this is such a key moment in the life of our church. It's where we spend a bit of time each year really looking at, reflecting on, praying into, giving to the vision of this church. And the vision of this church, hopefully many of you in the room will already know, the vision of this church is to be light for the city and beyond. And in the 8 years that Gas Street has been going, the vision hasn't changed. We still feel fully compelled and convicted by that vision to be light for the city. And we know that the outworking of that vision looks like being a church that gathers and... Hooray, thank goodness for that. That gathers and scatters. And so we are light when we gather like this, when we gather in other spaces, but we're light when we scatter, when each one of us are out during our Monday to Saturday, whatever that might look like, wherever we find ourselves, wherever God has placed us, we are light when we scatter. And the good news is, it's working. Like, God is at work. God is at work in and through this church. And if you need any more convincing of that, why don't you turn your eyes to the screen? We love to share stories of what God has been doing in and through people's lives. And so this is Callum's story. Why don't you take a look?
When I came to uni, there was loads of new experiences and the level of, particularly the level of independence that I'd never had before. There's so many expectations of you to meet new people and make new friends. I was going out socializing, I was drinking, and actually at the time this was brilliant. I was having a whale of a time. I remember kind of slipping a little bit into this party culture, experimenting with different things and some things that I probably wouldn't have thought I would have done. But I woke up one morning thinking, this is not how I thought it would feel like. I remember feeling empty, lost, without purpose, and it wasn't really what I expected at all. I remember coming along to church on a Sunday because one of my family friends had invited me to Gas Street. I kind of felt like a bit of an imposter. I really wrestled and struggled with this, and it really felt quite uncomfortable and confusing. If I have to be honest, I really didn't want to go on the student weekend away. And again, even the first day at the student weekend away, I kind of had those similar feelings of a little bit of emptiness. And actually, it was on the second day where I remember I suddenly just felt this overwhelming sense of the Spirit like I'd never had before. I remember being in uncontrollable floods of tears. But actually, I've never encountered God like that. I knew that I had to or wanted to do something different. I wanted to live differently. The thing that I felt most in that moment was the love of God just pouring over me, despite anything that I'd ever done, that I was actually a son of God, and that there was just this overwhelming sense of forgiveness. And there was nothing that I could actually do that would take that away. I remember coming to church each week and actually in that moment feeling really challenged and convicted and motivated to kind of give some of this stuff up and actually choose Jesus over those kind of things. But nearly immediately the next day, as I kind of dropped myself back into uni life, it would almost feel like an instant where I got it wrong again. And this cycle was just repeating itself. And it was draining. It was emotionally draining for me. Yeah, I ended up joining Gas Street St. Luke's Kids team, and it was really fun. It was exciting. And actually having that level of responsibility was also really helpful for me. It kind of plunged me deeper into my relationship with Jesus, and actually being able to share that with some of the kids was transformational. even having walked with Jesus for a bit of time now, there were so many other things that I would turn to for comfort, that I would rely on and depend on and turn to for strength in moments of weakness. It was in my third year, my final year of university, and I was at another student gathering on a Tuesday. Again, I really significantly encountered Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and it was this point where he freed me from a lot of the stuff I'd been wrestling with and engaging with and actually had been dependent on. It wasn't an overnight transformation for me. As I leaned into him and as I kind of surrendered that to him, I'm a completely different person from who I was. I'm just so grateful for the community that has been at Gastry, for my friends that I've made, for the people, for the older, more mature people that have journeyed alongside me, for the groups I've been a part of, for the groups I've led. And I'm actually working at a youth charity in Erdington called Urban Devotion Birmingham, who exists to see the transformation of communities one life at a time. And it's so exciting to be part of that and actually get to see young people come to know Jesus themselves. Yeah, Jesus is everything to me. He gives me purpose, he gives me relationship, he gives me intimacy. He has done so much in me over the last 4 years that I can't even really describe. He's brought peace to my life, he's brought purpose, he's brought joy. The biggest difference that Jesus has made in my life is actually, I now know that what anyone else thinks of me is secondary to what he thinks of me, and actually that I can surrender everything to him, that I can trust him. He is my father and I am his son.
Amen. We love stories like that. God is at work. You know, if you look through the publication, you might have seen we've put together this publication just celebrating all that God has done over the last 12 months in and through Gastry. You'll have read that 218 people over the last 12 months have said yes to following Jesus. You'll have read that 110 people got baptized here at Gastry over the last 12 months. 6,500 meals have been provided. 211 debts cancelled through the work of Love Your Neighbor. And God is also at work in the scatter. We've been running these scatter sessions the last few weeks, and we're seeing more and more people who are part of this church mobilized to share their faith, to pray for people out there. Christians who may have not had the courage or the conviction to do that before. And we're hearing stories all the time of people sharing their faith and praying for people all over the place, in Wagamamas, in the McDonald's drive-thru, in beauty salons, in children's playgrounds, in hairdressers, in university campuses, in classrooms, and in workplaces. It's happening. God is at work. One story that we heard at the scatter sessions on Wednesday was a woman, part of this church, called Rebecca. She shared the story of how she was at work this week, and one of her colleagues came in really low, really downcast, and he shared with her that he had just been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And he was in a desperate state. He was worried that he was going to lose his job, and he said to Rebecca, I don't think I've got any tears left to cry. And suddenly she felt that sense of the Holy Spirit just prompting her to pray for him. And so she turned to him and said, look, you know I'm a Christian. You know I'm going to pray for you. And he said, yeah. And then she sensed the Holy Spirit kind of tap her on the shoulder and say, pray for him now. And so she said, can I pray for you now? And he's like, right now. And she's like, yeah. And she was kind of hoping that he would say no because it was really busy at work and there were a lot of people around. But to her surprise, he said yes. And so she put a hand on his shoulder and she prayed a really simple prayer. And not only did he say that he felt a sense of peace, but she also heard behind her the voice of a colleague who she knew to be a staunch atheist respond with a resounding amen. God is at work. God is at work. And so the vision is to be light for the city as we gather, as we scatter. But we also know that the vision that God has given us as a church is also for beyond the city. It's for beyond the city. And we know that there is a unique call on this church to be a resourcing church for other churches, for the nation. And we do that through ministries like The Orchard, through Worship for Everyone, through Gas Street Music. We also do that by being a church that has a lot of visitors come. We know that there are people that come to Gas Street from other churches who come to receive, who come to be filled up and refreshed so that they can go back to their local churches, their context, ready to serve. And that is a huge privilege. We love being able to do that. But here's the thing. As we have prayed and discerned over the last few months, what we've sensed God speaking to us about specifically for this season, specifically for this chapter in the life of our church, what we've sensed God say is dig deeper foundations. Now is the time to strengthen the core. This is a moment to build better. And we've really heeded those words and we've reflected and we've prayed. And you know, often what happens during the vision series like this each year, if you've been around Gas Street for a while, you'll know that each year we usually present the vision and we share with you some sort of new and exciting ministry or initiative that we sense God compelling us, leading us into. And the encouragement as a church is to join us in stepping into those new ventures. And so in the last 2 years, we've called this vision moment above and beyond. And the invitation was for the church to go above and beyond in resourcing some of these new ventures, new ministry opportunities. And we may well do that again. But at this moment in time, in this season, yes, we realize on the one hand, of course, we want to keep inviting our church to go above and beyond, because as the vision expands, our faith needs to expand. The resources need to expand. But what we realize that as we've grown as a church in the last 12 months, we have grown by 23% just in the last 12 months. As new people have joined us, the majority of our church, actually, the invitation needs to be not to above and beyond, but to the main and the plain. The main and the plain of what it means to be part of a church. You know, we were tempted to call the whole vision series the main and the plain, but it didn't quite get past our comms team. And so, you know, we started to ask ourselves the question, what if every single person who comes to Gas Street regularly, who calls Gas Street home, what if every single person simply did the main and the plain? And you know what the main and the plain is? The main and the plain is belonging, it's serving, and it's giving. Because belonging, serving, and giving, these are the basics of what it means to be part of the church, what it means to be part of church family. Belonging, serving, and giving is not the above and beyond. And so the invitation is, would you simply belong and serve and give? Would you join us in just doing the main and the plain? Because these are the foundations. These are the foundation markers of what it means to be part of the church. And yet, even though we've grown by 23% over the last 12 months alone, did you know that only a quarter of the people who come regularly to Gas Street belong to a group? Did you know that only a quarter of the people that come regularly to Gas Street serve on a team? Did you know that only a quarter of the people that come to Gas Street give regularly financially to the life of the church? We've done the calculations. And honestly, humanly speaking, it is not sustainable. Because if a significant proportion of the church are not doing the basics, are not just doing the main and the plain, not not just doing the foundations of what it means to be part of a church family, then we are limited in terms of what we can build on. On the other hand, if everyone who comes regularly to Gastry, if everyone who calls Gastry at home just took one step further in, if everyone committed to those three basics, those three foundations, the main and the plain of what it means to be part of a church, belonging, serving, giving, then the impact could be uncontainable. It could be phenomenal. And so the talk today, the message today, is about two of those foundations. It's about belonging and it's about serving. Next week, Nick's going to share on giving, and we're going to create a moment for the church to come together and to give, to resource this vision, this expanding vision of what God is doing through us being light for the city and beyond. Last week, we showed Ashley's story, if you remember. And Ashley shared about how she'd connected into Gas Street, and then she'd started coming regularly. But for quite a while, before she joined a group and before she started serving on a team, she would have described herself as having one foot in. That was the phrase that she used in the story last week. She would have described herself as being one foot in when it came to Gastry. And that little phrase has kind of stayed with me all week. And I wonder if there might be a bunch of people, and you know that you've been coming to Gastry for a little while, but if you're honest, you are still really only one foot in. And maybe for some, the reason that you're one foot in is because you are hesitant to put 2 feet in. There is a reason that you're hesitant. And maybe for some reason, the reason that you're hesitant to put both feet in is because you have a feeling of unworthiness. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough. Or maybe for some, you feel like I've got nothing to offer. I don't know what to bring. Maybe for some, you are scared about putting that second foot in. And you're scared because you don't know what's expected of you. Maybe you're fearful, you're concerned, will I be wanted? Will I be needed? Will I be known? Will I be liked? Will I be disappointed? And maybe for some, you are one foot in because right now you are hurting. Maybe you are burnt out right now and you're one foot in because you're in a season of healing. You're in a season of receiving. Or maybe you're new around here. Maybe you've recently connected in. Maybe you're still exploring faith. And so you're just working out what all of this is about. And of course, yes, there are short seasons where being one foot in is okay. It's appropriate to the season. But maybe if we're really honest, for some of us, what one foot in actually means is I love to come and worship, but I'm not interested in serving. What it actually means to be one foot in is I love coming to a big church with a big vision, but it doesn't really suit my needs right now to get more involved than just rocking up on a Sunday. Here's the thing about church. It really doesn't work to be one foot in for very long, because either you'll fall over or the church will fall over. And so in essence, if we continually choose just to be one foot in week after week, maybe even month after month, maybe for some of us even year after year, what we're saying is, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to belong to his church. This is a major problem because the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that we should never, ever separate believing from belonging. You cannot separate believing from belonging. I'm going to take you through really quickly a whole bunch of passages in the New Testament that hammer this point home. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians 8:5, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave first of all to the Lord, then by the will of God also to us. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And finally, Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Are you getting the picture? Are you getting the picture? You cannot separate believing from belonging. You know this phrase, one another or each other? It appears over 50 times in the New Testament. Love, pray, encourage, admonish, greet, serve, teach, accept, honor, bear with, forgive, sing to, submit to, be devoted to one another. Each other. You cannot separate believing from belonging. And to be a Christian is to believe and to belong. I was reading a story about Pastor Rick Warren, a well-known pastor in America, and he tells a story about how he was preaching this message at his church. And this message was about giving our whole lives to Jesus. You know, one of those rousing messages. And at the end of his message, he invited the whole church to surrender, to give their whole lives to Jesus, their time, their money, their ambitions, their career, their families, their relationships, their home, their energy. And part of the response was Rick invited them to fill out a card, this whole life commitment to Jesus card. And what surprised Rick Warren wasn't that so many people filled out the card, but that a significant number who filled out the card, they discovered weren't actually giving to the church, they weren't serving at the church, and they weren't belonging in a group at the church. And he noted in that moment his concern about how many people were ready on a Sunday to declare their wholehearted, whole life commitment to Jesus, but didn't seem prepared simply to belong, to serve, and to give to their own local church. Cannot separate believing from belonging. And you know what the truth is? As a leadership team, over the last couple of months, we've had to ask ourselves some really hard, some really important, and some really necessary questions. Are we doing enough to create opportunities for belonging? Are we missing something? Have we set up ourselves in a way that makes belonging really easy? And some of the answers to those questions have been really confronting for us. We recognize that this hasn't always been our strength, that perhaps we haven't prioritized it in the way that we should have. The other side is, the truth is, over the years, I've had multiple conversations with people on a Sunday who have said to me, you know what, I've been coming here for a while and I'm finding it really difficult to connect in. And my heart breaks for that. Like, I hate that. And so then often I'll say, hey, well, are you part of a group? And they'll say, no. And I'll say, are you serving on a team? And they'll say, no. Because if we want to belong, it has to be beyond Sunday. You know what? In a church this size, with multiple gatherings, multiple locations, multiple visitors each Sundays, creating meaningful connection It is a challenge. We recognize that. But there are other challenges. You know, we live in a country that is in the middle of a loneliness crisis. We are living through a loneliness epidemic. And you know this loneliness crisis? There are a few factors, but one of the keys to it, it is symptomatic of being in a culture that values individualism over community. To breathing the oxygen of a culture that values consumerism, my needs first, over service, over serving one another. And it is so counter to the gospel. It is so counter to what the church is meant to be. And as Christians, as the church, we have to desperately resist that value system. We don't ever want to settle as a church. We don't ever want to just accept things the way they are. We don't merely want to be an event that people attend in isolation on a Sunday. Oh, let us pack up and go home. If that's what we're doing, we want to do everything that we can to be a church family where there's a sense of belonging. And so these questions that we've been asking ourselves as a leadership team is maybe we need to rethink one of our key frameworks for belonging. And that's our midweek groups, our Gastreet groups. And we've come to the conclusion that maybe there's a new way. Maybe there's a new way to facilitate belonging beyond a Sunday. And so what we've acknowledged is where a way of doing things might have been fine for a time, as we've changed and evolved as a church, perhaps we're in a moment where we need to approach those midweek gathering points in a different way. And so in April, we're going to be relaunching our Gastreet groups as Gastreet Communities. I know the cynical amongst you will be thinking they've just changed the name. It's like a repackaging. I promise you, Claire, was that you? I promise you that's not what this is. We're not reinventing the wheel here. But what we recognize is that these communities, rather than just lasting for one term, there's going to be a continuation. We want these communities, well done, to continue on throughout the year so that deeper relationship, deeper connection is formed. We're also going to have the whole church look at the same topics of discipleship, the same stuff at the same time. So as a church, midweek, we're journeying together. We're going to look at prayer, and we're going to look at studying the Bible, and we're going to look at what it means to live out this Christian faith. And so there's two key distinctions from the old way to the new way. And our prayer and our hope, as we share more about this and give more details about what it will look like, our hope and our prayer is that every person who calls Gastreet home would be part of one of these Gastreet communities, because you can't separate believing from belonging. But neither can you separate belonging from serving. There's this moment right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke 5 where Jesus climbs into the fishing boat. Some of you will know this story. Right at the beginning, he climbs into this fishing boat so that he can preach to the crowd that has gathered by the Lake of Gennesaret. And the owners of the fishing boat are washing their nets. And when Jesus has finished preaching, he turns to Peter, one of the fishermen, and he tells him to cast out the nets again. And I can imagine Peter, I love Peter. I so relate to Peter. I can imagine Peter at this moment kind of giving Jesus the side eye and being like, yeah, good one, preacher. We've been out fishing all night and we've caught nothing. But there's something about Jesus that makes Peter do it anyway. And so they cast out their nets. And if you know the story, they haul in this miraculous catch. And this is what it says in Luke 5. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. We need partners. We need partners. Look around. Look around, look through the publication. It is amazing what's happening. It is remarkable what God is doing, but with only a quarter of the church serving on team, with only a quarter of the church giving regularly, honestly, the nets are breaking. The nets are breaking with what God is doing. And we need partners. I know it doesn't always look like it, but let me assure you, in certain places, the nets are breaking. We need partners to come and serve. Because if we cannot separate believing from belonging, then we cannot separate belonging from serving. And we desperately need people who are prepared to roll up their sleeves and serve. I recently read a brilliant book by Philip Yancey called Rumors of Another World. Fantastic book. And in it, there's this chapter called God Loves Adverbs. God loves adverbs. And as a slight grammar geek, this really caught my attention. And essentially, he talks about how the Puritans had coined this phrase, God loves adverbs. And for the non-grammar geeks in the room, I'm sure there are more than one that don't know what an adverb is. I have children in school, so I am all too familiar with what adverbs is. An adverb is the word that you use in the sentence to describe the verb, the doing word. So for example, Rachel preached masterfully. I like that one. I came up with that all by myself. And so the verb in that sentence is preached. That's what I'm doing. But the adverb is masterfully. And see how it changes the sentence when you change the adverb. Rachel preached humbly. There we go. Slightly better. And so what the Puritans and what Philip Yancey were getting at is that, yes, of course God is interested in the verbs of our lives. Of course he cares about what we do. Of course he cares that we use our God-given talents, our God-given abilities and strength to their kingdom-oriented potential. Of course God cares about that. But God cares way more about how we do it. How we go about it, how we do the doing, if that makes sense. God loves adverbs, and I think God is way more interested in how we do something than what we do. You know, before we planted Gas Street Church, I'm coming into land with this. Before we planted Gas Street Church, Tim and I were part of a church in London called HTB, the church that planted us out. And we had 10 wonderful years at HTB that we are so grateful for. And you know, when we first joined the church and joined the staff team, Tim was the worship pastor. I was part of the media team. But I also served as part of the worship team myself. Believe it or not, I was a backing vocalist. You can hear my harmonies on the front row anytime you like. And I did that as a volunteer. That was my way of serving. I was also starting to preach a little bit. I was also starting to lead gatherings a little bit. And I absolutely loved serving the church in that way. It felt like I was developing these sort of new gifts that I was discovering. And those roles, that way of serving, has visibility. You're standing on a stage, and with visibility comes recognition. And as a human being, I really liked that. I really liked that. And then a couple of years into our time at HTB, I became a mum for the first time. And everything about my life changed. I stepped off of the staff team And practically, it meant that I had to also step back from being in the worship team and preaching and leading for a time because Tim was employed to be there on a Sunday. And I was with our little daughter at the time. But I really wanted to find a way to carry on serving at the church. And about the same time, the amazing women who were leading the stay and play group at church at that time decided it was time to hand on the baton. Their kids had grown up and they were ready to hand it on. And some bright spark suggested me. Somebody suggested that maybe I might be a good person to take it on. And to be honest, I was not in the least bit interested in running a stay and play group. There is nothing glamorous about running a stay and play group. Let me tell you, it's hard work. It's like week in, week out commitment. It's snotty noses. It's grubby floors. It is unseen, muck-in kind of service. And to be honest, no one really took much notice of the stay and play ministry. And so truthfully, I was not keen. But I had a little one, I had a vested interest, and so I rocked up, and as I did, something happened. God began to break my heart for the mums that were gathered there, like really break my heart for those mums. And God began to give me a vision for what it might look like if this group of mums began to get more connected to God, began to get more connected to one another, began to get more connected to their local community. And what I've discovered is part of the call that's on my life is to gather and empower women. And when God puts a call on your life, honestly, it doesn't matter if that's 2,500 people in the ICC or a couple of knackered mums in a grubby church hall. It doesn't matter because when it comes to serving, God loves the heart. He loves the heart. And it was hard work. It was snotty noses. It was showing up every Thursday morning, even when I didn't feel like it. It was hard work, and yet it was beautiful. It was powerful. God was profoundly at work in the mundane. Local mums became Christians. Mums found connection and community and friendship that would last a lifetime. We started raising money so that we could build a preschool in Malawi, and by the grace of God, I got to see it. And you know, what I had initially thought was a bit of a downgrade in my serving of the church, it actually became some of the most precious and fruitful years of ministry I've ever known. God loves adverbs. And you know, I wonder, and I finish with this, I wonder if sometimes the danger can be that we discount ourselves from serving because we are overly concerned with the verb. You know, we get too interested in the verb when God is more interested in the adverb. Maybe we think, you know what, I'll only serve if I can do it in this particular way. Now, don't hear me wrong. It is amazing when we can match the gift with the need. And we want to do that over and over again. We want to create more spaces where we match people's gifts with the need. But there also comes a time where we just need people to serve. When it doesn't need to be an exact matchup of our exact skills, but the need is there, would you respond? Would you respond? You know, I don't stand at home in front of my dishwasher and look at it and think, should I open and unload this dishwasher? Does it play to my strengths? Does it utilize my God-given talents? No, I look at that dishwasher and I know, quite frankly, my children are not going to do it. And so I unload that dishwasher and then I reload it again because the need is there. And honestly, right now, humanly speaking, to turn this vision into reality, we need people to step up. We need people to step in. And yes, we want to connect gift with need. But with a church that's growing at 23% every year, we just need people to serve. And you know, we want to make serving a positive experience. We want to make serving a life-giving experience at this church. And we know we haven't always got that right. We know we've missed things. And I'm sorry if you've served here and it hasn't been that experience. Would you give us another chance? Would you give it another go? We want serving to be a place where people find friendship. We want a serving to be a place where skills are developed, where faith is strengthened, where character is deepened. And many of you tell us that that is your experience serving on team here at Gas Street. And so I leave you with this question. Are you coming to this church but with one foot in? Is this the moment to take that other foot and jump in to what God is doing? We need partners. We need partners that are going to help steward the wonderful, at times mind-blowing things that God is doing as we chase after this vision to be light for the city and beyond. Are you ready to jump in with both feet and belong and serve and give?